it was a happy day when Jesus washed all your sins away. Go ahead and give him some praise. Give him some worship. I still remember when I went down in the water in the precious name of Jesus and all my sins were washed away. It was the best day of my life. What a powerful ministry. You know, Jeannie's been listening to some music with the boys around the house, and the other night I'm with Braden and we're building Legos and he's singing, "Take the shackles off my feet. I just want to praise him." It's a powerful thing to put that down inside your children's heart. Thankful for this ministry. Thankful for those that work with our children in Sunday school. And just want to give them praise and honor. Thank you for what you do with our kids. We appreciate it. Speaking as a father with two young boys, I really appreciate what you guys do to fortify what we do at home. If you want to stand tonight, we're going to take up an offering here. If you're a guest, we don't expect you to support this work. We're just glad you came to worship with us. And all the church said amen. Mighty God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your presence we feel in the house. Pray that you would take this offering, God, cause it to do a great work in your kingdom, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Continue to worship the Lord as you give tonight.
Come on, somebody just break loose a little bit right now. Tell somebody by him, hey, he saved me, he saved me, he saved me, he saved me. If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? Well, isn't God good? Boy, don't you love that children's choir? Had somebody come today and ask about Hope Corps signing up. Just walking through it with them. That next season is going to sign up in September. The next class starts in September, so you can connect with them at AST on a website for Apostolic School of Theology. Or Hope Corps. There's a government Hope Corps. You don't want to go there. But if you keep scrolling down, you'll find Hope Corps connected with Apostolic School of Theology. And it'll give you links to the applications. And you, too, can wear the coveted blue shirt and get a lot of really good information. It's all accredited and applicable to any other degree program that you would be pursuing, and get to hang out with some excellent people. The mentors on that trip to Honduras are just phenomenal. It's just a wonderful contact for our kids. Praise God. We also have a training center in New York City in Manhattan, and it's Brother Ramirez's church is the site for that. and walk out the door, and you have literally hundreds of nationalities within just a few blocks. And so our kids get a truly international experience when they go to either of those training programs. And everybody say amen. So we're excited about what God is doing. And everybody that loves Him and loves what He's doing in your life said amen. Praise God. Thankful. Cindy, you got the Holy Ghost this morning, and I think you've come to be baptized tonight. Is that right? Well, you won't be by yourself. Somebody else is getting baptized. So there'll be more than you. And maybe there'll be a host of people come to be baptized. Okay, well. And that is a great day. And I'll just tell you this. There are people with twisted bodies that receive healing. And they'll take their health and their strength and perhaps never serve God. But the greatest miracle is when someone's cleansed of their sins, their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they're filled with the Holy Ghost, born again of the water and of the Spirit. And that's your ticket, and you're on the bus. Then it's a matter of we're going to stay on the bus. We're going to read again tonight from Ephesians chapter 1. And we're just kind of making our way at our leisure through the first chapter of Ephesians. And the epistles are great because they touch everything. And as we make our way, Paul is rich toward us in all sorts of instruction and revelation and wisdom. And in this first chapter especially, we're covering a lot of very broad themes and a lot of things that are important features of the kingdom of God and our experience in the kingdom. And let's just start reading in verse 7, talking of Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. God doesn't just give you a thimbleful of anything. God abounds. If you're standing in a place of decision, know this, that if God is involved, he's all in. He's there with everything heaven has to offer. He's come with everything. And he's not stingy. He's a good God. It's always amazing to me how people can be stingy with God. And they don't understand the equation of your experience with God. They don't understand that you can plant one seed and get a whole plant full of seeds. Have you ever seen that thing on the chessboard where they start with one grain and that multiplies and the next square is filled with what was produced there, and the next is, before you're even halfway through the chessboard, you've covered India with grain about 2 or 3 feet deep. When you get into exponential production, and that's how God works. Now unto him that is exceeding abundantly able. Somebody say he's exceeding abundantly able. God doesn't do anything halfway or partway. He's come to complete a work in you. I'm talking right to somebody's sphere and their heart tonight, and telling you, God has come not to take you partway and leave you. He's come to take you all the way. He didn't pay half the price for your salvation. He left everything on the ground beneath the cross. I want you to know, he gave his all. And when he pours out the Holy Ghost, it is everything you need. And when he's given you his word, it is everything that you need. And when the mercies of God rise with the sun tomorrow, they're new mercies, and they're as powerful as any character in the scripture ever walked with. God can do anything for anybody, and you don't have anything in your life right now that is a challenge. You don't have anything in your life that is a challenge for God. You don't have anything in your life that is a challenge for God. His rhetorical question resounds through the ages. Is anything too hard for God? Praise God. There are a lot of voices that would like you to believe that, but you need to know God is well able to take care of you and your little life. Step out of your tent and look up at the stars. If he can hold all that together, your life is easy for him. All you've got to do, now getting you over on God's side is not always easy. The primary thing is getting you to agree with God. Now that's sometimes difficult because human will is the most powerful force in all the universe. Because God has set it that way so that your will can override hell, and it does. And your will can override heaven if you want it to. And if you want to walk off on your own and be a stubborn, stiff-necked mess, God will allow you to. But if you want to collapse on an altar and let God build you up brand new from the sole of your foot to the length of your life, he'll do that too. And he won't be stingy. And you'll like the product. You'll like what God produces in your life. Wherein he hath abounded toward, and this is why we're so slow getting through this. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, verse 9, having made known unto us, everyone say the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure. Everyone say his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, say his purpose. All that matters is his will, his pleasure, and his purpose. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, at the end of it all, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Praise God. If we'll let him work his will, his pleasure, and his purpose, we'll be in that great gathering when he gathers all things in heaven and on earth. If you love his word as you're seated this evening, give him praise and thanks. Bless his name. Come on, do you have anything left? Do you have a little bit more left? I know you've been praising God really good and you've been praying really good, but do you have anything left for God? Hallelujah. Hey, we give you praise, oh God. We magnify, we lift you up, we bless your name, we worship you. Praise God, praise God, praise God. When you engage in prayer and in praise, you need to have a word in your mind. And this business of living for God needs to be canopied beneath a word. The word should be relentless. The devil's got to deal with me tomorrow. He's going to have to deal with me the next day. There's nothing that he can do to me that's going to stop my praise or my prayer or my faith or my testimony or my conviction or my love for God, my drawing near to. Does anybody feel like that tonight? Devil, you can try to wear out the saints, but you're not going to wear these out. You see, that's all he can do. He can wear you out. If he can ever get you to stop and sit down, well, that's going to be the end of your victory. But friend, if you'll just keep leaning into this, if you'll just keep leaning into this, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We get new every day. We get new every day. My God, my faith is better than it's ever been. My joy is better than it's ever been. My level of victory is better than it's ever been. Praise God. And it's not contingent on age or how much hair you've got. It's simply contingent on the promise of God, and we are moving faith to faith. It moves from glory to glory. It grows brighter. It grows stronger. Is there a testimony in this house from some folks that have lived this for a little while? And you're able to tell some young people, honey, this is going to get better. The half has not been told. You ain't seen nothing yet. This gets better and richer and deep. Is there a witness in the house? Are you just barely making it through? Are you just barely struggling through? My God, I see all these young people worshiping God. But honey, you wait till you lived a little bit of life. Then you won't be so quick to shout, oh God, shut your mouth. Put a knife to your throat. I want to tell them, honey, you hadn't seen nothing yet. It gets better. It gets deeper. It gets richer. It is better right now than it's ever been. I want to tell you, you think you got something, you think you've seen something, God's got something for you you haven't seen yet. God's going to make you into something. It's going to blow your mind. Somebody say praise. Come on, come. Is there an old man or an old woman in here can shout a little bit about that? It gets better. Praise God. Now, tonight we stopped at, this morning we stopped at the business of working on his will, his pleasure, and his purpose. And we stopped off at Romans chapter 12, that we should offer up our bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. That's H-O-L-Y. It could be W-H, but it's not. And holy. So you may not know what holy is, but you got to find out what holy is. Because that's the mandate of God. I had no idea what holy was. I just knew they were strange. I just knew the people in that church were strange. Strange in culture. Strange in behavior. Strange in their lexicon. Strange in their manner of association and dress and custom. But I also knew that they were dead on the money on this book. And because we had studied the prophecy, we knew the book to be true. And as we studied the book, they kept answering all the questions just right. I've told you about a little gal that a couple of little gals that came with a Bible study chart out to the back of some property out in the country there in the outskirts of Baton Rouge. And they brought a Bible study chart to a house trailer that was filled up that night with young men and young ladies that were exactly like young men and ladies looked in the 60s, with the long hair and the beards and the drug and the rock music and all of that business. And these two little apostolic girls coming through underneath the live oak trees with the moss hanging down in a spooky kind of a situation. And culturally, they were so different from us. And I thought about it yesterday. We got to visit with one of those young ladies yesterday. She's no longer young, but she was coming through town with her husband. We visited for a little bit, but it was such a treasure to see her again. And I thought about, she was about 17 when she sat down with us, and we were 20 or in our early 20s, and they opened up that chart and they began to bring the gospel, and it was light. And out of that building, out of that meeting that night, there were four preachers that went forth. They had no idea. There were three churches that were built. Those churches are yet in existence tonight. They had no idea. Just two little girls with a Bible study chart doing what God had said. Well, praise God. You just don't know when you drop a handful of this somewhere what it's going to do. You don't know when you show a little bit of this somewhere what the outcome will be. Praise God. They were culturally different, but they had the answers to the Word of God and the questions that we had to ask. And I was so glad to meet somebody that didn't close the Bible and tell me what they thought. So glad they could give me chapter and verse and lead me and guide me in this book that I had come to know and love, but I didn't know where all the secrets were. So he's teaching us here in Romans 12, 1 and 2 to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, that's where we stop in a discussion of changing your mind, renewing your mind. And to do that, you've got to change your knowledge base. You've got to get new knowledge. And to do that, I would suggest to you that you have a home Bible study, because it takes a little while. 2 years at Sinai, 3 years to be disciples of Jesus Christ. It's going to take you a little while to change the course of your ship, to get your head screwed on straight. It's going to take new information. But as you gain new information and as you come out of your world or out of your Egypt and you walk away from that, the old knowledge will not be reinforced anymore. You've shut off the movies and you've shut off the television and you've shut off the voice of the world continually polluting your spirit. Now you've come out and now you've turned that off and now you're getting new information. And before that's over, the process has been completely altered and your new information becomes new knowledge and it becomes the base for new thoughts, and your new thoughts become the launching pad for new imaginations. And here you go. You're off into your living for God with a great level of quality of life and power in the things of God. Somebody say amen. So you've got to be changed. You've got to be, he said, the way you do that is not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You've got to come into alignment with what God considers acceptable, what God considers good, what God considers to be perfect. Praise God. It doesn't matter what Wall Street says or what Madison Avenue says or what the Style magazines say. It doesn't matter what Hollywood is doing. I would love it if you could detach from Hollywood altogether, because the stench of that has a way of getting on everything. But I would love it if you could come out of that world and not conform with that world, so that you can begin to be transformed and conform with God's world. What is beautiful? It's what God says is beautiful. What is good? It's what God says is good. What is perfect? It's what God says is perfect. Praise God. Don't you dare use the world as your yardstick for what is of value, but you let God determine that. But that's part of your, that's an essential part of your transformation. Because if you're continually using Egypt's yardstick, you will never be conformed to the kingdom of God. You'll be afraid of the kingdom of God. You'll never turn loose of the old things. You'll always be vacillating in the middle of it all. And to further use the metaphor, you'll be lost in the wilderness, walking in circles, not in Egypt, but not in promise. That's not a good place to be. You're going to die there. You've got to turn loose of all of that altogether and come on in to the kingdom of God. Praise God. Now, God wants to give you the kingdom. Turn to your neighbor and say, fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know what God takes pleasure in? God takes pleasure in pouring out the Holy Ghost. You know what God loves? God loves washing people's sins away. The Pharisees didn't get that. They were on Jesus' case about hanging out with sinners and tax collectors and Republicans. And as he was, they questioned him about it. And he didn't answer directly. He just told them three stories. He told them about the lost sheep. And he told them about the lost coin. And he told them about the prodigal son. And as he told them about these lost things, he in each instance said, there's where the joy of heaven is. There's where you find heaven rejoicing. When one comes back, when you find that lost sheep, or you find that lost coin, or you find that prodigal son, that's where the joy of heaven is. I want you to know, God's not the least bit interested in what happens in a sports arena. God doesn't care what somebody's vertical leap is. God doesn't care how somebody did in the combines. God doesn't care who gets who in the draft or who gets who in the recruiting for a local college. God doesn't care about any of that. Well, that's my gift, and I'm using that for God. God's not interested in that. You can't serve God in an athletic event. You can bring your version of God into that, but God's not coming in the door with you in the midst of that. You know what happens when you have a real Holy Ghost revival? They had one at Troy University in Alabama back in the 70s. And when they did, it broke their football team into shreds, because about a half a dozen of their starters got the Holy Ghost and got baptized in Jesus' name. I saw one of them at a home missions conference. And the guy, when he had run the aisle, I mean, it was scary. He had run the aisle and bang into the wall and spin and bang into the wall and spin. I thought, my God, he does that good. I wish I could run the aisles like him. But he had been running footballs, and he had been bouncing off big linemen and all that. But they just said, I'm about to live for God. You say, Brother Sutton, they can't be involved in that. We teach our babies. I have a discussion with 8-year-old and 9-year-old boys every year. And Dad's there. Frankie wants to play T-ball. And it's just little kids. It's just little kids. You know, it don't mean nothing. Oh, it's the nose of the camel. It's the small foxes. And so I go through the whole thing. Well, Frankie, you're going to start when your helmet's down like this, and you look like shoes under a helmet, swinging a bat. And you can't hit it even if it's on a tee, sitting still for you. But you're going to get better at it. And then you're going to move to 9-year-old. And then you're going to move to 10-year-old. And then you're going to move to, and before long, it's going to be travel ball. And before long, it's going to be every Saturday you ever have, anywhere, anytime. And I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I know. And it's going to consume. And daddy's just going to blow up. And mom's going to be patting her hands. And they're going to be so excited. And little Frankie's going to get so much affirmation at the ball field that when he comes to church, church seems like a drag. Because he's going to get his affirmation out there. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't get them involved in anything outside that's going to steal their passion for what's on the inside of the house of God. Well, praise God. Well, praise God. And I just tell them, you become a star, then you're going to want to play junior high, then you're going to play high school, then you're going to go play for a local university, and that rarely ever happens. But I want them to see the sequence, because mom and dad are going to be with you there all the way. They're going to be attending games when they ought to be in the house of God. You ought to be in the house of God, but you're at ball practice. You ought to be in the house of God. You ought to be in Hope Corps, going to Honduras, learning how to witness to people on the streets of a third world nation. But you're in New York playing some sort of a league ball for the summer to make you better and to sharpen your skills. Because now everybody's on the boat and are all frothing at the mouth, so you'll get that big scholarship. It can get crazy. It can get absolutely crazy. I sat in a home over off 280 a number of years ago with a young man who would be a starting linebacker for Auburn and go on and play professional ball. And as I was sitting there listening to all of the feedback, I thought, God, help these people. The best thing that could have happened to that young man would have been for him to have his knee destroyed or something that would have completely shut him down, because that whole house was being drawn by the power of the pursuit of an earthly goal or trophy or position or perceived power. There was no way in the world they were going to be able to say yes when I got to the serious commitment of the kingdom of God. Praise God. Praise God. You don't want to put your babies in that position. You know what you want them to be? You want them to be excellent worshipers in the house of God. You want them to get the Holy Ghost before they need it. You want them to learn how to pray when they're 2 and 3 and they're talking in tongues and somebody tells you, oh no, they're just playing talk. No, honey, you be quiet. You let those babies play, because children resolve life by play. And they'll get the Holy Ghost before they need it. You let them make commitments in an altar when they're 7 and 8. You let them hear the word of God and don't ever hold them back. Let them pursue a dream in the house of God and in the kingdom of God. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The bane of the apostolic movement and its drifting toward television and worldly amusements and all of that is because preachers and men love sports. Con cuidado. You be careful. You watch yourself, because everything out there has tentacles. And everything out there wants to possess your soul. And an altar is an altar because things die on an altar. And we meet God at an altar. And if you don't have an active altar in your life, this altar becomes, the preacher said, your very best friend. Because it's where I lay down things. If it's a relationship, let me put it on the altar. If it's worth anything, it'll survive the encounter. If it's a passion or something I see that I'm fascinated with in the world, let me lay it on an altar. Bring it all to an altar. He teaches us when he has Abraham bring his only son, his son that he loves, down to an altar. He's saying, everything I want your marriage on the altar. It'll last longer. I want your children on the altar. Oh, but I'm afraid God might take my children or God might hurt me. Come on down to an altar. Come on, fall in love with an altar. Bring everything. Bring it all to an altar. And when you go away, everything has been offered to God. There's nothing the devil can challenge you on any basis. That's exactly right. Let's just stop for a minute. I want you to lift up your hands and I want you to call on God for just a moment here. I want somebody to just make a commitment. God, whatever you need, however you need it, whatever you want, whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord. That's what I'll be willing to do. Whatever it takes for my will to break His will, His pleasure, His purpose. That's what I'll be willing to do. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. God's looking for an army of people that'll stand and say, you've got me. I'm 100% here. I'm all in. I'm sold out. I'm ready to say yes to God. My only response to you, God, is going to be amen. It's going to be how high, how far, how much. Come on. Is there a testimony in the house tonight? Is there a witness in the house tonight? Is there an amen in the house tonight? My God. Praise God. Praise God. Don't be conformed to this world. God wants to give you the kingdom, but you've got to be positioned and in alignment, and you've got to love His will, His pleasure, and His purpose if God's going to be able to give you the kingdom. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Proverbs 16 and 7, Eddie Fox. Everyone say, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Do you know when you align yourself with His will and His purpose and His pleasure, nothing can stand against you? That God will work and He will move heaven and earth to bring things into alignment with His purpose for you and His will for you. Pharaoh can't stand up before a Joseph. God will bring Pharaoh to his knees. God will bring anything to its knees to accommodate His will, purpose, and pleasure in your life. Praise God. Do you understand that? You are not on your own indomitable. You are not on your own able to overcome every adversary. But if you bring yourself into alignment with His will and His pleasure and His purpose, there is no power in heaven and earth that can stand against what God desires to accomplish in your life. Does anybody feel like right now you're right in the middle of the will of God and you're loving it and you're enjoying it and you're pleased with what God is? Now, you're a little bit tentative. You're a little bit hesitant here. But it's easy. It's easy. Are you doing right now what you know to do? If you are, you're in the will of God. If you're doing right now what you... I'm not talking about 5 years from now. I'm not talking about what God's going to do with you when the journey's over. I'm talking about right, because the will of God, it's what Jesus was talking about when He said, sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. And when He was talking about take no thought about tomorrow, He wasn't saying don't plan, don't save, don't. He was just saying don't be all in knots about it. Take care of it today. Do the will of God today. Walk the walk today. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. We touch on Enoch several times in the Bible study, but we have a very sparse supply of scripture to go to because the scripture doesn't have much to say about Enoch. But here's the analysis of Enoch in Hebrews 11 and 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. You know what his world was? Don't tell me about your world. Don't tell me about how hard it is. Don't tell me about the pressure. Don't tell me about how difficult it is on the job. Because Enoch lived in a world that was about to be washed away by a flood. And he stood on a stump. If you read Jude, it'll make you laugh out loud. He preached about all the ungodly sinners and all their ungodly ways that they ungodly did. Ungodly was his favorite word. He knew ungodly when he saw it. That's a good thing to know. Apostolics that don't know what ungodly is scare me. There's a lot of drift in the Pentecostal movement. The apostolic movement, Brother Wilson likes to say, is in convulsion. And it really is. There's a whole lot going out the other side. But I'll just tell you this, and this is how the kingdom of God works. For everyone that lays down his crown or lays down her robe and walks out of the kingdom of God, there's something else coming in from the street. God sending you out on the highways and byways. Said they don't want it. Bring in the blind. Bring in the lame. Bring in the halt. Bring in a Mary Magdalene. We'll cast the devils out of her. Bring in a legion. We'll cast 1,000 devils out of him. God will have his kingdom. Well, praise God. Praise God. Let's clap our hands into him and bless his name. Praise God. Enoch is a preacher in a day that's so ungodly, God's about to wash the whole world away. Enoch lives for God and he pleases God. Well, but they didn't have it. Our children have it so bad. Nobody's ever had it as bad as, oh, they got all this media and all this electronics and all of this stuff. No, no, no. You don't understand. You don't understand. Enoch lived in a world where every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They displeased God so bad, God called a man to build a boat and said, I'm going to save 8 people and start all over again. Enoch lived in that world and he pleased God. I don't care how it is at school. You can please God. I don't care how it is at home. You can please God. Come on. Come on. Don't give me some sad story. Don't tell me about the pressure. Let me tell you about a God that's bigger than all of those pressures. Is there a witness in this house? Have you found God to be a God that will keep you in the midst of a troubled generation? Well, praise God. Praise God. Talking about the will, the purpose, the pleasure of God. You know what God likes? God likes it when he is the focus of your conversation. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. God likes it when he sees a huddle of young men and they're talking about him. You know, you talk about drive the devil batty. When you get a huddle of young ladies and they're all gathered up and they're just chirping like a bunch of little birds. And you wonder, give me a list of the top 10 things you think they might be talking about. Stop it. Cynical people in the house of God. But when God hears them talking about him, and if they're talking about boys, they ought to talk about that. That's a worshiping boy. That's a praying boy. That's, it ought not be about how thick and wavy his hair is. How strong his muscles are. You know, it doesn't matter about all of that. What should matter to you? Yeah, I like him. I saw him in the altar last night. He was crying like a baby. I think I like that boy. He didn't care what anybody thought. He turned into noodles in the altar. He just went down like a limp rag and began to praise and weep before God. That... Now I'm going to show you, I'm not picking your pocket, I'm not kidding you, this is what pleases God. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. He's listening to every little crowd, to every little group. And see, he knows you. When you get off in your little huddles together, that's when he finds out who you are and what you love. I don't know if I ought to do things like this or not. I'm not going to do that. No. I like hanging out with folks who talk about the good things of God. If I hang out with a preacher, I want to hang out with one that's talking about revival. If I hang out with anybody. And I'm at a disadvantage with you because you might feel compelled to talk about things with God because I'm the preacher. But God likes to hang with people that talk about the things of God. And you tell me, is there anything more fascinating? He makes stars. He calls forth blades of grass. He sends the killing frost of winter and then brings it all back to life. He makes flowers. And he, do this. Can you do that? Isn't that amazing? God does that. God wired that. God created that. Do you know there's not a scientist on the earth that can do that, that can make that happen? Not yet. Not the way it happens from your mind and down your nerve endings and into that finger. That's a fantastic, miraculous thing. God does all of that. And John said if everything he had done would have been written in books, the whole world wouldn't hold all the books. Can you imagine what lies in store for us on the other side? My God, my God. And the insipid, vacuous, hollow, pointless things that people sit at their computer and drool while they're doing it. Because you have to take your mind out and put it in a box to sit at that computer for hours on end on Facebook. And talk about, this is my cheeseburger that I ate for lunch today. Here, it's on my phone, and I'm going to tweet out, it was a great cheeseburger. You are my cheeseburger. I'll wait for you. I will wait for. I really do think VeggieTales is a lot more. If you're going to put your time in something, put your time in VeggieTales or something productive. At least you'll learn valuable songs to sing and biblical moral messages. Somebody say, praise the Lord. It's trying to lay in place for you. Do you see it's trying to drink your energy and sap your being and bring you down to its level and have you just enmeshed in all that it's doing and you can't find time to pray? My God, take it out back and shoot it. Brother Dross taught us how you dance on the devil. Put your cell phone on the ground and smash it. Do you know, this is amazing, but we lived for years without constant contact. We lived for years without, and you're going, old people. Old people all say the same thing. When I was your age. You be like that if you want. But I'm going to tell you that the world is trying to connect with you in such a comprehensive way that it has a lockdown on everything that God might use to get into you and reinvigorate you or stimulate you for revival. You're so tied up. You're so busy. You're constantly, you can't live. You wake up in the middle of the night fiddling with a phone. It's a psychological nightmare. You got so much media stuff going on in your head. Praise God. Well, I'm going to stop. I'm talking like an old man now. I'm going to stop. But God says, I like it when they get together and they talk about me. He said, I'm going to put a book. I got a special book just for people that talk about me a lot. They get together with their friends and they talk one to another about the good things. And look what he said. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serves him. Praise God takes pleasure when you handle the things of God on an intimate basis, on a regular basis. It's the It's the stuff your friendships are built around. It's the stuff you like to handle when you're relaxed. You want to talk about the good things of God. Praise God. Everybody say His will, His purpose, His pleasure. Praise God. Let's clap our hands and lift up our voice and magnify Him. Praise God. Praise God. Lindsay, come and help him. Help and give him some hope here. Praise God. Praise God. You know, when you please God, you get really radical. Like Phinehas, who went in the tent and found the Israeli gentleman and the Canaanite woman in an embrace, and the whole camp was about to come under judgment because of that kind of foolishness. Phinehas takes a spear and goes in and just pins them both to the ground. Now that's brutal, and it's savage, and it's shocking. And God said, now that's what I'm talking about. And God said, I'm going to give Phinehas my covenant of peace, and it's going to be in all of his descendants forever. Because Phinehas said, I'm not taking part in this stupid stuff. It may be in the church, it may be in the house, but I'm not going to be a part of it. I'm going to walk up in the middle of it and say, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ought to be ashamed for talking like that. You ought to be ashamed for telling that joke among God's people. You ought to be ashamed for looking at that and thinking about that. And my God, is there a Phinehas in the house that's willing to say, I don't want to be a part. I want to be a servant. I want to be in alignment with the will and the purpose and the pleasure of God. Praise God. God's desire is to use you for a demonstration. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. To the intent now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known, everyone say, by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's purpose, God's will. If you trust God, you'll bring your dream down, the thing you really want to see. Sister Corey, you can go ahead with Cindy now and get her ready to be baptized if you want. It's time. I'm not trying to call attention to it or anything. But we ought to make it a twosome. You want to do that? How long has it been? Yeah. We usually don't baptize folks again. But when it's time to recommit and you're ready to recommit and you want to say, I want to do that. I want to be involved in His will and His purpose and His pleasure. Yeah, we'll do it again. Let's do it. Let's start all over together. Reggie, come help him. We got another player. And there was a young man that came to me before service. He wanted to be baptized too. Ah, aquí él está. ¿Vienen ustedes posible para estar bautizado ahorita? En el nombre de Jesucristo. Para perdón.
I'm telling you ahead. I don't know Spanish.
It's okay, I don't either. Stephen, come help him. Help him get geared up. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Now, when I'm wrong, stand up and correct me. Don't sit there and go. Is that, do they do that in Mexico too? They do that comprehensive slapping the fingers to mean. Anglos, gotta love them. I love the Holy Ghost that I feel in the house tonight. What I like for us to do, I really like for you to get together with your families. And I like for you to come down around the altar. Reggie, we can baptize them right in the middle of all this. This would be great. If you don't have family, connect with somebody. Adopt somebody here. When you get geared up and hooked up, tell them it's about His will. It's about His pleasure. It's about His purpose. Hallelujah.